Hi.
My name is Kendall Bruns.
And I'm Alan Matosky.
You are listening to Films of the Future,
where we review films before we see them.
Yes, and this week's film is Interstellar.
We used to look up in the sky and wonder at our place in the stars. Now just look down and worry about our place in the dirt.
Go for main engine start, T-minus 10.
We must confront the reality that nothing in our solar system can help us.
9.
I've got kids, Professor.
How long?
Where have you gone?
8.
I'm asking you to trust me.
7.
Murph. You have to talk to me, Murph.
6.
I need to fix this before I go.
You have no idea when you're coming back.
5. Main engine start.
Couldn't you have told her you were going to save the world?
No.
4.
When you become a parent.
3.
One thing becomes really clear.
2.
And that's that you want to make sure your children feel safe.
1.
Alan.
Kendall.
What did you think of this film?
I think that this is so far the most powerful film that we've reviewed.
Powerful.
On the show. Powerful.
It's an interesting choice.
I use that as a blanket term for what the movie is trying to be.
Oh, what it's trying
powerful.
To be. Interesting.
I mean, and what it is, the genre is a powerful, powerful Thinkman's movie. It has a few, it has really great special effects and lots of stuff. It happens in space.
Yes, I agree. It does happen in space. You can tell that by the spaceships and the outfits that they wear.
Yeah, and Michael Caine is there.
Yeah, well, he's not typically in
space.
He's
reprising his role as Alfred.
I don't...
In this brave recasting Batman.
I don't know if that's exactly the intention or not.
No, it's not. I'm just fucking around.
Okay, so let's
because Jeremy Irons is Alfred now. Everybody knows that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He is? Like, what, in the...
In Superman, Batman, Jeremy Irons is,
I didn't know about that.
Well, come on, man. First of all, that's a different show, but I am glad to know that you haven't seen that film. That means we can still review it.
That's true. So, Interstellar. Mm-hmm. This film is about... Well, in a way, it's going to be hard to review it without spoilers. So, we might want to... that's going to limit some of our conversation.
Since we haven't seen the film, I think it is impossible for us to ever have spoilers in our reviews.
Well, that depends on your approach to
and my powers of... precognition.
I thought this could be a moment for us to talk about our different philosophies about what you should know about a movie going into it. Because this is a film that has 3 teaser trailers, or full trailers. Mm-hmm. There's teasers. They've been promoting this for a year. There's featurettes. If you want to, dig into this movie, you can. But I don't think you really want to do that necessarily, because it is a movie where, versus John Wick, which we reviewed in episode 2. Mm-hmm. This is a film that you don't know where this is going. From the trailer, what will be the end of this film? And I would also say, based on Christopher Nolan's previous history, mm-hmm. particularly I'm thinking of Inception, there's...
Which I think is amazing, too, because... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But there's things about this movie where you feel like there's some very standard kind of tropes mm-hmm. in place, mm-hmm. but how you could kind of see where it's going, but how will this movie end? What is the end of this movie? And that's something that I don't think is answerable without...
One word, man, hope.
Well, let's talk about that, because as we watch...
I mean, that's the kind of answers that you have to give when you're... I mean, I don't know. Going off of what I know, That's the kind of answers you have to give.
Right.
Let's talk about McConaughey, too. Or, well, first of all, let's say this Christopher Nolan Inception. How about that scene where it looks like Inception, where it's like folding in on itself, kind of? Well, like, there's at least like two or three different moments where things, their whole reality and surroundings are folding up in on themselves.
Well, I
like
in Inception.
Like in Inception, he loves that.
I think. What is your? What do you think about Inception?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty long and had a lot of gobbledygook in it that they could have just done away with and gotten more to how people felt about each other.
And is that?
But I thought it was really good. I thought it was creative and exciting.
Is that your impression of this film as well?
It is. It is. I may be like kind of a little snarky about it, but it's got my man McConaughey. Fellow Texan. Love him.
For those of you who don't know, Alan is a Texan. In case you couldn't pick up on that.
How about them Cowboys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
McConaughey, interesting.
Great guy.
He's having a thing, right? Because of the whole True Detective and the
McConaissance.
McConaissance.
What they call it.
That's what they call it. The Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm. He's being respected as an actor.
But... isn't that an interesting thing? Like, what happened to him? There was this period of time where initially he was the Dazed and Confused guy, right?
Oh, yeah. And then he became Pretty Boy.
Pretty Boy. And, like, everything was about him being shirtless on the beach playing bongos. Yeah. There was this whole
or
meme.
Having sex with Jodie Foster in Contact.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
I
Contact? He plays the religious guy, the religious leader. Yeah.
So this isn't his first foray even to this genre.
To classy sci-fi.
Is that what genre you put this in? Classy sci-fi?
Yes.
Cli-fi? Classify?
Classified.
Classified.
Classified, dude. I think that's absolutely right. The other thing I love about it is that there's this one... it comes up a lot, and she says to him, she says, "I'm not going to make it." And he's all on the intercom, "Yes, you are." I don't know if you've seen a little film, probably his best film since, or until, debatably until this movie. It's called Reign of Fire.
Ah, the dragon movie.
He and Christian Bale play opposite one another. And they're, again, it's very similar to this movie. They're both playing Batman.
In the movie?
Yeah, Michael Caine is there. No. That's not true. But it's the end of the world, and dragons have come, and Matthew McConaughey plays the last Marine, American Marine, and he has a giant axe, and he wants to kill the head dragon. But that's not the coolest part.
Is this a present-day film?
Reign of Fire?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you mean present-day?
I haven't seen that movie...
You gotta watch it, and everyone
is it like a medieval time period?
No,
movie? It's
no,
a
no.
modern day movie with
they,
dragons.
They come out of London.
Oh,
from the tube, I guess. Anyway,
that's where they would be.
Right.
Were there eggs hidden down there or something?
One big egg, yeah. And then
is that a spoiler?
Yeah, no. It's in the very beginning. You see the world, and then like as they're doing the opening credits. It's like one of those headline montages.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch the world slowly get destroyed by dragons.
What do you think about the world building in this film?
No. I'm still on this movie, and here's why. Because there's a point at which Christian Bale is on horseback, and he's going and he's putting in these stakes so that they can use their radar. But then the dragon comes after him. And who gets on that receiver? But Matthew McConaughey, and he said, "You can make it. You can make it." And he says something about ride that horse flesh.
Like, ride that horse flesh?
He says it. It's an amazing... We'll play the clip. Let's play the clip.
Okay, if I can find it. Ride that horse flesh.
"You're the bait, Gwen. 1,600 pounds of horse flesh riding right down my throat. You read me? Ride the north road to the quarry. Bring her to me, Gwen."
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Point made.
Yeah.
World building in this one, I think they do a great job.
Because, this is a movie that's trying... It's going for realism.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like his previous movies, even if they are like even the Batman films, the whole thing about them that was unique when they came out was that it was taking that genre and putting it in more like a real world kind of context feeling. Don't you think?
Sure.
You know, like Batman Begins is way more like grounded in reality than any previous Batman film.
That's right? Okay. Well, yeah, that's true.
But
I mean, that's absolutely true.
He goes for like, there's this drama, like mega drama. Is that a term?
Mega drama. Yeah.
Yeah. Mega drama. And I feel like Matthew McConaughey can do it. And
absolutely, man.
And Anne Hathaway can do it. Michael Caine can do it. Jessica Chastain, who I think is great in everything.
Yeah.
She can do it. So that works for me. What I really like about this movie is the visual language and that...
Visual language?
Yeah.
Like ASL? American Sign Language? I just... did a lot of signing. No one heard that, but
for our deaf listeners, that part was for you.
Oof, Kendall.
What?
For our, all right.
You started it. He started it.
I know sign language, and I was asking what you mean by visual language. Writing?
Yeah. No, the visual language of the film. The like way the camera moves and it's edited and all that kind of stuff. The special effects, the cinematography, you know. Okay. The visual language.
Yes.
It's very strong, is my point.
It is. It's stylized.
And I like seeing films and seeing visual moments that are memorable and show you something you've never seen before. And so even though you're saying it's somewhat reminiscent of some of his previous work, particularly Inception, I see things that I've never seen before.
Sure,
that
sure.
thing that walks around and moves, and I don't even know how to really describe what it is, but that...
It's a R2-D2.
His version of... The interstellar version of R2-D2?
Yeah, everybody's got a version of R2-D2. Buck Rogers Fantastic. Had that guy in the mechanical dog suit.
Now, I will say, I don't think that the... space outfits are as good as the ones in Prometheus.
Oh,
but
boy.
I think they're going for a different thing.
Oh, boy. listeners, we can't talk about any space movie, Kendall and I can't, without talking about Prometheus.
I like Prometheus.
Which I take issue with.
Yeah, well, I don't... I think, especially... Alan and I, we've been friends for a while. Is that fair to say?
That's fair. Yeah. I've always enjoyed your friendship, Kendall.
Yes, as I have yours, Alan. And so Alan remembers when Prometheus came out, and I saw it, and I was real excited about it because I just really responded to... Very similar to this film, to the visuals and the way sound was used. I think when I first saw it, I probably was too forgiving of what are some major flaws of the film. And then on a repeated view, after talking to Alan and kind of not being able to ignore some of the film's flaws, and then after watching it again...
And again.
I mean,
what are you watching this movie for? No good. Look,
but their outfits are so cool. The like designs of those uniforms and some of the like visuals.
Here's my thing: is that I'm never happy. Like,
oh, I'm never happy.
No, but
that's
I'm never
the
happy
one thing
with
we have in common.
That's true.
but we like it.
I even when I see a movie I love, like all I can think about it like are things that kind of like piss me off about it.
Well, what is that about?
I don't know.
Why can't you just like something?
I do like some movies like that, or I can just let it go with some movies. For me, it's very important that the film sort of acknowledges me as a viewer.
Like it says your name at some point?
No, but it respects me. And if it gives me garbage, like, it's like a joke that it's giving me garbage, you know?
Yeah.
You
want there to be some sort of, like, agreed upon world or language or something that it doesn't violate.
Yeah, yeah, but even that can not be enough for me to enjoy a film. Like, okay. I guess I'm just really, like, very, very particular, and a lot of it's really arbitrary, and that's just, I've just kind of accepted that that's, like, how I watch movies, is, like, I'm really a negative guy.
Uh-huh.
But there You're are really things I like about stuff, but I will not give a movie a, and man, Prometheus is a stinker.
There's some really cool stuff in it.
There's
though.
Not a part of it that makes any sense.
Well, look, we're not here to discuss.
Why is that android trying to kill people?
He's curious.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, wouldn't they have some? Like, why is he trying to kill people? That's my biggest problem with the movie.
That's your biggest problem? That's that one is addressable. I think it's because he wants to see what will happen. He's curious about how people react.
Do you think that really adds to the story that they're telling?
Yeah, it makes it much more
complex.
What
is that story?
The story of Prometheus?
In just a couple of sentences. Because I can give it to you for Interstellar. Earth is dying, and they have to go find a new place to live.
Isn't it something like
Prometheus
that?
Is what?
There's a thing that happens, and they need to check it out. I don't remember. But you make a good point.
Oh, must be a great movie.
But I remember the design of those spacesuits.
All right. There's parts of it that are pretty... I thought it was... I jumped for a second when that one alien breaks that guy's arm, which means that they built the tension up enough for me to...
I think
there's
some good set pieces.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty, I guess, but it does not work for me.
Interstellar
works, I think. Interstellar is great. Interstellar is classy. It's not Ridley Scott fucking jacking off into my eyes for fucking 2 hours.
All right. Well, the review of Exodus, Ridley Scott's film about Moses starring Christian Bale. Yeah,
that'll be a real picnic.
Coming up later this year, so stay tuned for our review of that one.
Kendall's actually going through his cards as though he's giving a speech.
Yes.
yeah.
But the film presents this idea that mankind... has always found a way to survive.
No,
and
yeah.
You seem to take issue with this, and yeah, so I wanted...
when we watched the trailer together, I gave it one of these.
Yeah.
Because I don't know when man has, like, prevailed over...
Well, we're alive.
Yeah, but only because we haven't yet chewed up everything else in the world yet. Like we just sort of, like... Oh, well, we survive by, like, you just using our resources a lot without thinking. That's how we have always survived. And I think if you're talking about a extinction-level event of the Earth being used up, then it's more like this is a problem we've never wanted to face, and now we will have to survive. Because in another montage, it shows you it's, like, breaking the sound barrier.
Yeah,
and I'm
so
like, that has
the...
nothing to do with... humans trashing the Earth.
But the original teaser, that's what you're talking about, where they show all these kind of, like, mankind achievements and, you know, going to space and a lot of things about technology and travel.
Sure.
Right?
And I understand that, like, interstellar space travel would be phenomenal and interesting and exciting.
And that's what this movie is about.
Right. But what I'm saying is that when he says, like, we've always found a way... That's my McConaughey, by the way.
That's pretty good.
If I was bound away, I'll be back.
No, he doesn't...
I don't know when.
Oh, that's...
I swear I'll be back.
Yeah, so let's talk about the relationship with...
You're gonna make it!
...with him and his daughter.
Oh, man, that's part of probably the...
because that's the
beginning of the
very
movie.
Important part of the film. Like, it's something that they... really are building the emotional core of this film around that. And also this idea of, is his love for his daughter tearing himself away from her for a greater good?
Yeah.
And like, how do you balance those kinds of choices in your life? Are we asked to make those choices?
You and I?
Yes.
No.
Are we asked to choose between mankind and our family often?
Kendall, you and I seldom think of anyone but ourselves.
Oh, I see.
Possibly those very closest to us.
But, well...
In that way, we are like McConaughey. We love our family, right? Passionately. I'll say that.
But
I really do love my family, but I've never been asked to save Earth, no.
No. Well, or to, like, go to war.
I think people have asked if I wanted to go to war.
They have?
Sort of.
What did you say?
No.
Because of your family?
No, because I don't believe in... I don't want to say America that much. Because I do believe in
really
how great it is to be in
America.
Draw
some lines in the sand here.
Wow, okay.
Now it's time
I guess maybe I don't know exactly. Jeez.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about you, Kendall? Why aren't you fighting in Iraq?
Well, that's quite the question. I just never... my father was in the Air Force.
Oh, great.
So I grew up a lot
around. He wasn't a coward.
Yeah. Military. But I never wanted... That was never something I really considered doing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, you know, I mean, I guess that's just something to think about.
So now it's the time for a segment we haven't done before.
Yeah, and it's called... What movie did this movie steal from the most?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Kendall, what movie did this movie steal from the most?
The movie that this movie stole from the most is 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Go on. Justify that.
I mean, these sort of operatic scenes of spaceships floating in space... environments unlike we've seen before, very beautiful and evocative of these classic scenes from that film.
I think that's a good answer. I like your operatic. No, I'm not joking. I think that's a really beautiful way of putting it, because that really is exactly...
The music and sound design in this film are incredible.
There's even that little homage to 2001 where they play some classical music.
Well, that's...
As the ship is flying.
Allegedly.
I think you'll find that that happens in the movie.
Alan, which film do you think this film is ripping off the most? Steal from, and they're going to sue them.
And they're going to sue them. That's easy. Sunshine.
Sunshine. Boyle.
Film. Yeah. That Danny Boyle joint that is also a piece of garbage.
That's one where they, if I remember correctly, they're traveling towards the sun.
So the sun is dying.
Yeah.
They're in a last-ditch effort to go reignite the sun so that Earth can survive.
But doesn't the sun sort of make them go crazy?
No, what
for
happens...
One of the characters?
It gets really, really bad. But there's another ship, apparently, that's, like, closer to the sun or whatever that they go over to, and, like... There's this guy who's been there, and like the last half of the movie,
it turns into like a horror movie almost, right?
Like a bad, like not in the right place to do a horror movie. Like, space is great for a horror movie. Yeah. Alien, terrifying.
Event Horizon.
Oh my god! I was working at a movie theater when it came out.
Me too.
And yeah. G.I. Jane too. Was that your...
Yeah, G.I. Jane. Michael.
George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Because
Dante's Peak.
I didn't work there long.
Armageddon.
Steel. Dude, one day, Steel.
And other movies that came out in the late 90s.
When I Shaquille O'Neal as Steel, a superhero who rides a motorcycle. When I was taking out the ticket stubs, there was one stub in there for Steel, which meant a guy went and saw it by himself. Which is just...
You know, yeah.
I mean, it made me... I cried a little bit. Event Horizon, though, I went and saw it with my friends. We were, like, rowdy and shouting at the screen. It's unbelievable, man.
This film, Paramount...
Pulls out his own eyes.
Paramount Pictures releasing this film, Interstellar, and they are in their marketing campaign.
Henry Rollins is in Event Horizon.
They're making a big deal about the fact that you can see it 70mm IMAX... 35mm film. Like, they're advertising on the posters and stuff, you can see it actually as film, which seems like kind of a funny thing that is like now the prestige format that they've just like these studios have forced film out as a medium and pushed digital because they're the ones that really are saving all the money by doing this.
Right.
And now they're like, oh, and guess what? We got a special treat for you guys. This movie in certain theaters were actually shown in film. You're welcome. It's like if the parents stole their kid's bag of candy and then the next day was, we're like, here's a piece. Be happy. Like,
well, when you're raising a child, you know,
you really do call all the shots. Yeah, what I said actually, that didn't sound so bad. It's way worse than
like good parenting.
Well, I don't think they're good parents. I
always wanted more candy.
I wanted more than one piece of candy.
I see. So this is really good.
Format will you see Interstellar in? Will you see it at the Navy Pier IMAX 70mm? Will you see the IMAX presentation at AMC that's not really IMAX, but I guess it is now?
IMAX for me is very overwhelming.
Or will you see it 35mm, or will you see it digital, or will you not even notice that and just see it?
I probably won't notice it. I saw... What did I see? I saw Baraka in the... What is it? 70mm once. Yeah. I saw Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
At the Paramount down in Austin. Mm-hmm. And it looked beautiful, but I'm not really... my eyes don't speak that dialect,
yeah,
of visual language.
Thank you.
Fuck you. That's the subtext.
You hate everything, including me. I get it. Why don't you tell our listeners what you think of our theme song?
I think that if it played this episode, this is the last episode it will be playing on.
You hate it, guys. Don't worry. Hate it.
We're gonna have something melodic next time.
Listen,
possibly me on an acoustic guitar.
Listeners, if you would like to defend the current,
we just
version,
need to find something that rhymes with future.
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 Future. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. We should go with that since it's common thought. I have not seen this film. And I give it 4.5 stars.
I have not seen this film, and I give it only 4 stars.
Thank you for listening. We're having a little trouble with our email, but I shouldn't talk about that on the podcast.
Not getting any emails.
There seems to be some sort of problem. I checked the inbox and it's always empty.
I don't know
why.
It's
so weird. Please find us online, filmsofthefuture.com. Mm-hmm. And we do the Facebook and the Twitter. And next week, we will be reviewing Dumb and Dumber 2. So something special to look forward to.
It's going to be great. See you then. Bye.
Bye.